This is Sign Mitchell here with Eric Nyland, the New York Times bestselling author of Halo, Ghosts of Onyx. Now, those of you in the know will know that I am Eric's wife, but I'm also a rabid audio geek and run my own podcast at www.weavecast.com. So having all the gear, it seemed like the thing to do to interview Eric about this new novel that he's recently finished. So welcome, Eric.
Hey, Sign.
You had some exciting news this past week. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I finished this new novel I've been working on for almost a year called Mortal Coils. It was a really big project for me. It was just kind of a stretch project because it's big. It's big in a lot of ways. It's twice the length of any other novel I've done before, 200,000 words. And it's also big in that it's epic in scope, too.
So why such a big book?
The story just needed that much space to tell it properly. The characters are much richer than any other characters I've dealt with before. The plot is complicated, involving forces on a cosmic scale.
Now, before we go any further, people will want to know, is this another Halo book?
It is not another Halo book. Right now, there is a sixth Halo book under contract to Tor Books with Bungie. But as far as I know, Bungie hasn't decided what that book will be or who will be writing it. They've been busy getting Halo 3 out the door.
Now, you are notorious for not giving spoilers, but can you give us the gist of the book?
It is a contemporary fantasy. It's about a twin brother and sister. They're 14 years old, and they think both of their parents are dead. They live with their grandmother and their great-grandmother. But actually, their parents are very much alive. Their mother is a goddess, and their father is Lucifer. It gets interesting when both sides of the family discover that these twins are alive and they both want them. And so you get the immortal side of the family coming in and trying to figure out their lineage by making them go through three heroic trials. And the infernal side of the family comes in and tries to determine their lineage by subjecting them to three diabolical temptations. And the story is about how those events play out, the trials and temptations.
So is it a young adult novel?
Not really. You know, it's a young adult novel in the way that Ender's Game is a young adult novel, or that A Wizard of Earthsea is a young adult novel. The main characters are young adults, but it's very adult in theme. I think that 12 to 15-year-olds would enjoy reading it. They would really get a blast out of reading it, but so would adults.
What surprised you most about writing this book?
I guess how the characters turned out. These 14-year-old boy and girl, they really turned out to be characters with a lot of depth and heart. After a while, it almost felt like I was writing about my own kids. It almost feels like I've kind of grown up with them a little bit. Almost in the same way I felt like I've grown up with some of the Spartan characters in the Halo novels.
So how does writing a 200,000-word novel compare, say, to writing two 100,000-word novels?
I think it turned out much better. It really gave me a lot of room to put all the action and the fireworks that people know me for in my novels, but really expand on the characters and make it a more meaningful experience to read this kind of book. There's more of a chance to really bond with the characters, really more of a chance to bring in a bigger cast of characters and make it more epic.
What were some of the other characters in the book?
I think my favorite character to write from was Lucifer, because he has all these great lines. He has this very unusual outlook on life, and that he's fallen in love with this woman who eventually had children with him, and he's not quite sure what to make of him because he's the Prince of Darkness, and he's not supposed to fall in love. So he's ambivalent about his kids. He wants to love them, but he wants to use them at the same time to, you know, gain advantage over the other infernal lords. The mortals in this book are interesting in that they're not like one god. They're not like the Greek god Ares. They're immortals that have appeared throughout history, and humanity has mistaken them for gods. They're immortal, but they're not the gods of literature. They're a lot more complicated than that, and they have a lot of personal hang-ups and drinking problems and sexual relationships.
I've been a first reader for the book, and one of the more interesting things to me was that you have these archetypal immortal characters, and yet you play against the stereotype. For example, the character who is loosely based on Ares and other gods of war is not a hothead. As he's been portrayed in mythology, he's kind of a cool, like, Zen Buddhist Jackie Chan kind of master of warfare.
Yeah, and really where he's coming from is he's fought all his life, which is very long indeed, for the people he loves. And he really likes his young niece and nephew. he works very hard to protect them, although that's not too easy in this book.
Was that something you did deliberately, stepping outside of the conventional stereotypes?
I did a lot of research on what it would be like to be an immortal. So a lot of research into history, ancient, through the Middle Ages, up through contemporary times. And I really tried to get my head wrapped around what would happen if you lived through all these different historical events, all these different times. What I ended up with was some very rich and strange characters. You think about Ares, it's kind of a one-note character. He's the god of war. Well, he's not the god of war. He's this guy who has lived through hundreds of different wars, seen lots of people he's loved die, you know, lost a lot. And so he wants to preserve what little is left.
There's a saying that soldiers hate war the most because they're the people who actually have to fight it.
Oh, absolutely. I really, especially like in the Halo books, I try and put a lot of heart and soul into the soldiers. They're not killing machines. They're people, and they have feelings. And so the Immortals and the Infernals and the kids in this book are like that.
Which was more fun to write, the Immortals or the Infernals?
Oh, the Infernals. That's an easy question. You know, they live in their own private domains of hell. They have a lot of personality quirks. They're just these flashy, glitzy characters with too much power. Their greatest enemies are themselves. They're just an interesting study in power gone wrong. They're a lot of fun. In many ways, I wish I was like the Infernals, but that's another interview.
Of the characters in the book, which one do you think you resonated most closely with?
Probably the young boy hero. When I was growing up, I was kind of like him, shy, didn't have a clue what to do with a girl, very smart, but it was all on the inside. Very hard to break out of that shell.
Do you think that the boy you were would have enjoyed reading this book?
Oh yeah, I would have totally. The 14-year-old boy that I was would have totally dug this book because it kind of shows how our young hero grows out of that a little bit. You know, he still has to deal with that at the end of the book because he still is, for all intents and purposes, a 14-year-old shy boy right on the edge of puberty. Those issues aren't going to go away despite his lineage.
Now, you also had romance in this book.
Yeah, romance is great. Part of growing up is romance. You know, the budding romances.
It's an important part of growing up, the learning to deal with the opposite sex, especially at that age, 14 to 15.
Well, at the core of this story is a romance between the goddess that are the children's mother and Lucifer. That core romance, how everything happened, how they got together and how it didn't work out, is one of the central issues of the story.
One of the interesting things you haven't mentioned is the fact the children were not anticipated. Lucifer and the goddess didn't recognize each other as immortal beings when they got together.
Yeah, there are a lot of politics in the backstory about the Immortals and the Infernals. And actually, they have this neutrality treaty where they can't interact except by mutual consent. And so they're very hands-off with the affairs of each other. When Lucifer and the goddess get together, they don't recognize each other. They're at the carnival in Venice, and they're both masked, and they both spend the evening talking together. And when they unmask each other, they've spent the entire night, you know, falling in love with each other just based on their personalities. The moment they fall in love, they either don't recognize or choose not to recognize the spark of immortality in each other, and they go on and have this torrid romance, the result of which is the twins. Things go hideously awry at that point because the woman knows that she just can't have kids with any normal mortal. And she finds out that it's Lucifer. Bad things happen to Lucifer at that point because she gets really angry at him. She goes away and hides the kids to protect them from both sides of the family.
Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us.